The third reading of Parshas Beshalach is where we get ready for the splitting of the sea. We heard all about the kvetching and the complaining. Vayemer Hashem el Moshe. And so, at this point, Moshe began to pray to God at great length and very intensely. And God's response to Moshe is, Ma titzak elai? Why are you crying out to me? Daber al bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, vayiso, and let them journey forth. So Rashi says, from the notion that God responds to Moshe with Matitzak Eli, why are you crying to me? Lamadnu, we can learn, Shahoya Moshe imidu mispalel, that Moshe was in the midst of praying. Because if God says Matitzak Eli, then clearly he must have been in the midst of praying. And we know already from the Makkah, from the plague of Tzfardea, that when Moshe Rabbeinu cries, that means it's a very intense prayer. It's not an ordinary prayer, that he really invests himself in prayer, because when it came to the Makkah, to the plague of Tzfardea, Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Pharaoh, Hispoir Eli, try me out. When would you like it to stop? And Pharaoh said, like tomorrow. Moshe said, you got it, no problem. And then he said, I just made a promise. I hope I can keep that. So he really began to pray intensely. So from this we can understand that Moshe Rabbeinu must have been praying intensely, because God says, Ma titzak, why are you crying out to me? So we can see that he is Eimidu Mispalo. And it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu was really getting into some very intense praying. Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, the Holy One, blessed be He, responds, Lo yeisata laharich betfila. This is not the time to pray intensely. This is a time she Yisrael nesunim betzara. The Jewish people are now between a rock and a hard spot. They're in a difficult set of circumstances. And so there's something to be done rather than prayers to be offered. Davar Acher, this is from the Mechilta, but Rashi himself is not very happy with this, or not fully satisfied, because ultimately, why would God tell somebody to stop davening? Don't we always want people to daven? You want people to pray? Moshe Rabbeinu is praying. So God could say, I heard your prayers. I'll respond to your prayers. What is he matitzik like? What kind of verbiage is that? So therefore Rashi introduces another explanation, and he says, Davar Acher, Matitzek Eli, that Eli is almost as if it would say Olai. So in other words, we're not going to go away from Matitzek Eli, don't cry out to me. We have to follow the don't cry out to me. That's what it says. But that can't be all it says. That doesn't satisfy us. There has to be something else, a subtext. So the subtext is the fact that Eli with an aleph, which means to me, can also be read as Olai with an ayin. And it's as if God is saying, Ma titzak olai. This one's on me. Don't worry. I got this. Olai hadavar toli. This is now in my hands. This is my responsibility. Le'olecha. This is not your problem. K'moshe ne'emar lahalon, as it says later on in another place, far, far later on, all the way in the book of Isaiah, Al bonai v'al poyal yodai titzuveni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Isaiah, to Yeshayahu Anovi, you're going to worry about my children? You're going to tell me what to do with my children? You think I don't care? So Moshe Rabbeinu is crying at God, what am I going to do with the Jewish people? Moshe Rabbeinu, God says to him, Moshe, you telling me? You think I don't know what's going on? I got it. Relax. Olai. This one's on me. So that's the way we understand Matitzak Elai, but from Rashi's perspective, Moshe Rabbeinu is definitely praying, and yes, the Egyptians are almost upon us, but now is not the time for prayer. Now is the time for you to move forward. It's as if God says also, the outcome of this situation is not in your hands, it's not dependent on you, it's on me. But here's what you must do. Dabro b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, you have to galvanize them and get them to move forward. It is very interesting to note that many of the other Mefarshim do not follow Rashi's approach. For example, the Ibn Ezra says, God spoke to Moshe, and he said, speak to the Jewish people. Tell them, Ma titzek elai, stop screaming at me. Because they were screaming. They were praying, but not with great faith. So that kind of prayer, God said, thanks but no thanks. They're just yelling, "Oh my God, what are you doing to us? How are we getting out of this situation?" I once saw a bumper sticker. It said, "Staying in bed on Shabbos morning and screaming, 'Oh my God,' does not constitute prayer." So here we have a situation where the Jewish people are crying to God, but they're not really faithful. There's, like Rashi said, they assumed, they role played that which our ancestors did, but come on, this is not a... They're doubting Hashem. They're almost screaming at God rather than praying to Him. I think the reason that Rashi rejects this approach is that we already learned yesterday that's only 1/4, only 25% of the people were praying, or at least only one camp. It could be it was less than 25%. We don't know if the camps are evenly divided. That could be the smallest camp. So why would God tell Moshe Rabbeinu to respond only to the praying group of Jews? Why not respond to the suicide group of Jews who wanted to throw themselves into the river, into the sea? Why not respond to the Jews who wanted to fight and say, "Stop wanting to fight. Stop, you know, I'm going to fight. God's going to fight." And especially because we learned yesterday that God responded, according to the Michilta, to each of the four groups. And He already responded to them. So why would this be a continued response? It would seem to me that's why Rashi rejects the approach of the Ibn Ezra entirely. Well, although that seems to be the approach of many of the Rishonim, Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "Why are you allowing the Jewish people to yell at me? Why don't you rein in your kids, you know? Treat them the way you're supposed to. Explain to them how things are going to work. Let's take responsibility for the people. Don't tell me what to do. You instead take responsibility for the people." He has taken responsibility for them up to now. This is the moment of truth. It's never been this bad yet, you know? He never had a nation out of control on his hands, and the raging sea and the Egyptian army, tall mountain passes, that's never been there before. You know, my Zaidi used to say, used to ask him, "Zaidi, how are you feeling?" He says, "I don't know, I was never 89 before." "Moshe, how you doing?" "I don't know, I was never in this situation before. This is a new situation." Now, Moshe is crying out to Hashem, but according to the Sefarno, he was not praying. He was kvetching. He was complaining about the Jewish people. He says, "They're not going to go into the sea. You take a look what's going on over here. I got four political parties that unfolded on me all of a sudden out of nowhere. The next thing I know, they're going to call for elections. The whole government's going to collapse." He says, "They're not going into the sea. You got to be kidding with me." And God says, don't scream about them like that. Don't tell me stories. They will follow. You just speak to them. You'll see. According to the Sefarno, he says, "Ma ata choshed b'chsherim? Why are you being suspicious of those who don't deserve to be? You should be suspicious of them. If I told you that they said they go forward, then you be sure they'll do that. They will follow instructions. They just need instructions, that's all. You didn't tell them what to do. You leave them alone to their own devices. They're going to yell, scream, kvetch, complain. Tell them what to do. Give them clear instructions. You'll see, it'll all work out." Rabbeinu Bechaya has a very interesting kind of take on it. He says, very different than Rashi. Rashi says, "Olai, this is on me. I'll take care of this." According to Rabbeinu Bechaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Don't look at me. This is their job now. You need to get them to move forward. It's all in their hands. I will do what has to be done. Only after they do what they have to do." In other words, we have to make our move. And then Hashem follows. Hashem says, "When they will go into the sea, I will split the sea." You know that despite all of this conversation, there was only one Jew who actually listened to Moshe. And his name was Nachshon ben Aminadav. And he had no good reason to listen to him other than he was a man of faith and a man of great devotion, a real chassid. And he went right into that sea. And it was a raging sea. And it wasn't splitting. The water wasn't going anywhere. And the story goes that Moshe Rabbeinu went in, Nachshon went in, pardon me, up to his nostrils when he was literally about to drown. And this is the message. This is what Hashem was waiting for. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that's what God was waiting for. He's waiting for somebody. Even one yid can bring about salvation for the whole nation. But you have to be ready to make that sacrifice. His Mesiras Nefesh saved all of us. So that's the Matitzik Elai. So again, you have various ways of understanding the point of Matitzik Elai. And instead, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Now, after you finish speaking to them, here's what you must do. Va'ata horeim es matcha. I want you to raise your staff." But the funny thing is, he says horeim, which literally means to lift up. But he says, Niteyes yadcha. He says to him, you should raise your arm al hayom over the sea. Uvkaehu. And it'll split. And split it. Moshe is being told, split the sea. Lift up your staff and raise your arm. And the Jewish people will go into the midst of the sea on dry land. But first they had to go into the midst of the sea. Now, this is very, very interesting. Very interesting verse. Because it says, Horem esmatcha. What does it say? You should raise your staff, it says. To raise your staff. But then it says, Neteyes yodcha. Lift up your staff, but raise your hand. Which one was it? Should Moshe raise the staff or the hand? It's very clear. It says, Neteyes yodcha. So what was the business with Horem? What was the business with lift up your staff? So I got to tell you, it's Rashi doesn't say anything about this. He says, lift up the staff, raise up your hand. He doesn't say. Dabra b'nei Yisrael, that Rashi explains. He says, Ein lem el elisa. They just got to keep moving forward. But there's a sea in front. Don't worry. Ein ayom eimed. The sea is not going to stand b'fneihem before them. Kedai zechus avaysom, avaysayhem, v'hemuna sheheminu bi. The merit of their ancestors and the faith that they have had so far, even though now they seem to be losing their faith, but the fact that they went after Moshe, following him into a desert, just because God said, the fact that they did that, that's already enough of a merit. Likrei lahem hayom, to have the sea split open. It doesn't matter that they kind of lost their faith or composure in the 11th hour. So Rashi doesn't talk about, he says, that's what you should say, but he doesn't talk about the fact that the Torah seems to be indicating there's two different messages that are given in the raising of the staff. The Ibn Ezra says that the commandment to Moshe was to raise the staff high above the sea, don't touch the water. Don't touch the water. In other words, he shouldn't think that the staff somehow miraculously inhibited the water. The staff has to be high up. They should see the staff high up, not in the water, and the water will split. That's how the miracle has to unfold. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, throw the staff away. Horem doesn't mean lift it up. It means lift it up, toss it off. Get rid of it. Why? He says, because the Israelites were saying, oh, Moses, he just has a magic stick. He has a magic wand. That's how he's able to do these things. Take away his wand, it's finished. According to the Kli Yakar, the Egyptians were saying that. It's hard to understand because the Egyptians couldn't see anything. But anyway, that's what he says. So people were saying, they were saying, Moshe is just the man who has a wand. That's all he is. Take his wand away, and he's powerless. The Rosh says, the word horem comes from the terminology of hafrosha, separation. And we actually see this with the terminology that's used for the heave offering. That which is lifted from the grain, from the harvest of Eretz Yisrael, given to the Kohen, is called terumah. And it's muram, it's lifted, it's separated. He says the term horem means hafrosha. And he says, the point here is that this time it's not the staff. Till now Hashem said use the staff. Now it should be, Moshe's hands should be clear. It should be clear, they see the hands of Moses. Yodav shal Moshe yifalu. It's the hands of Moses that are going to be effective on the sea. And everybody will see that this is Moshe and not the staff. Of course, when they come out of the Reed Sea, what does it say? The Jewish people responded with a profusion of faith. Vayaminu b'Hashem. They believed in God and Moses, not God and the staff. God and Moses. They saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was the force, not the staff. So that dovetails very nicely into that. And maybe Rashi doesn't say anything because either of these interpretations work, or any of the interpretations work. None is pshuta shel mikra. None is the most literal. Either one, whichever one you want. Either way it works. I can't tell you for sure he got rid of the staff because the Ibn Ezra says that he raised the staff. But it doesn't seem that way. It doesn't, because it says he raised his hands. Now here's something really interesting. As we learned, Moshe Rabbeinu was praying, according to Rashi. And God said, stop praying. So the other Rishonim say, wasn't God saying to Moshe, stop praying? The Jewish people stop screaming at me. They should stop screaming at each other. This is something that I'll be taking care of. But only Rashi says that God said to Moshe, stop praying, which is unusual. Stop praying? I'm glad you're davening. I got it. Don't worry. Thank you. Here's the answer to your prayer. What's matitzak? What kind of expression is that? I mean, Moshe is doing what a Rebbe is supposed to do. A Rebbe is supposed to daven. What do you want from him? Why would God respond like that? So what did Moshe do wrong? The Jewish people are praying out of rote, out of habit. They're just doing what people do. So God would say, stop matitzak. But why would Rashi favor the opinion that God's matitzak and he's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu? You stop davening. Now, the thing is, if you read the verses, he already told the Jewish people Vatim Tacharishon. He already told the Jewish people be quiet.
Right.
So why would he repeat his message? You're right.
Well,
you're right.
Still do
that's
it.
What. That's because they're still doing it. He told them be quiet. So he told them be quiet. Well, matitzak. Clearly, there had to be something else, something he didn't address before. So to say that he was addressing just a segment of the people, or that he was reiterating a message, Pshuto Shel Mikra, if we read the verses straightforward, is difficult to say. But, you know, at the end of the day, this may be the Pshuto Shel Mikra, but how do we swallow that? Moshe told the Jewish people, stop, it was told by God? Moshe's told by God, stop davening? That's what the Rebbe's do, they daven. So the Rebbe asked this question. Page Reish Pei Zayin. The 15th entry, Tezvav. It says, Yesh Lishal, L'chayra, seemingly, Dai Haya Bakach, it should have been enough, Shakon Shbaruch Hu, Yemel Moshe, God would say to Moshe, Ma'alav Lasais, here's what you must do. Don't tell him what not to do. Don't tell him, stop screaming at me. Say, Moshe, here's what you must do. Dabar Abnei Yisrael. Like, what if we would just cut and paste, okay? We'll take out, Vayayimer Hashem, O Moshe, Dabar Abnei Yisrael. We'll take out these three words, Matitzik Elai. How much nicer would the read be? Moshe is davening, and God responds, speak to the Jewish people. Now I want you to give a sermon. Fine. Right? To emphasize that Ma'atzedech, what was there a need for Lasek B'shlilas of Shari Yisacheres? He says, don't do this. Don't daven. So the Rebbe says something amazing. The Yesh Levayer. Here is the likely explanation. If God would not have prefaced his words by saying to Moshe, stop davening, don't scream at me, don't talk to me. What would Moshe think? He would think like a Rebbe thinks. He's got to keep davening. And as he continues to pray, together with the prayer, he'll continue to pray, he'll continue to mouth words of petition, and he'll continue to beseech heaven, and he'll also speak to the Jewish people, Dabar Abnei Yisrael V'Yisrael. You never saw somebody davening and telling people, no, 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 oh. He could have been davening and directing them what to do. And Moshe would be doing both. What is he? God didn't even tell him after. He said, Harim Ismatcha, fine, whether it means raise the staff or drop the staff, cast it aside, raise your hands, he'll be davening. He davening, petitioning, heaven raising his hands. Tfilah l'Moshe ishalikim is very good. What's wrong? L'chein amar l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, God prefaced his statement, his commandment, his instruction to Moshe: speak to the people. He prefaced it with Matitzik Elai. And what was he telling Moshe Rabbeinu and every subsequent Rebbe, and by extension, every single Jew who's in a position where he could help other Yidden who seem lost? He's telling something very important. When you're actually dealing with saving Yidden, then you have to dedicate yourself to that 100%. If that's what you're doing, then do it. When you're involved with saving souls, then save those souls and don't do anything else at the same time. Regardless of what it is, no matter how important it is, you're talking about prayer. It's a big deal, prayer. It's an important thing. Rebbe's daven, that's great. But when you're involved in saving Yidden, then for heaven's sake, save those Yidden. Give yourself over to that mission 100%. Olecha lahafzik, you have to stop. Afilu est filoschof ne'akadosh baruch hu. Even your davening has to be cast aside. Al afma alosa agdela. Despite its tremendous virtue, ubavad, the main thing or the only thing is shetucha lehisrak, is that you should be able to focus entirely kol kulcha, every ounce of wherewithal and strength and talent and ability should be focused on one thing, hatzalasim shel Yisrael. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is going to speak to the Jewish people now, he's going to speak to them with every ounce of Moshe mustard, And only when that happens can Moshe Rabbeinu successfully save the Jewish people and move forward. And that was the lesson for Moshe, and that remains an enduring lesson for each and every one of us. L'chaim.